Okay, so at your request, we will we'll follow this article here. Oh, can I not share screen? Okay, on my iPad. I don't know why. Okay, so what we're gonna do is we're gonna take up the issue of. Okay, whatever you want. I mean, you have the article, so you can look at it. Whatever is okay. So yeah. So the issue I want to take up is that in the middle of the Gemara's discussion of the education system, it brings up a problematic thing in modern context, which is after while in the middle of its discussion of force feeding kids information, it also says that if you need to hit them, you can do it lightly with a shoelace, but you should hit them with a shoelace if that's what's necessary, which raises the question of what do we what do we do with the Torah's perspective on this, when obviously in modern culture this is very, very much a taboo. So I thought that we would take it up from the perspective of the article that I sent you from Neria Gutel, from Rav Neria Gutel, because I really, I've seen a lot on the material. I think that Neria Gutel's treatment is the best I've seen in terms of its meta-analysis. Because, as he himself says, there's a real problem in this in analyzing this sugya, and that is that there are two tendencies which are both problematic. One are the people who, come at this sugya from the perspective of the modern world, where we say hitting children is bad, and therefore, bend over backwards to read implausibly into the Gemara that they didn't believe that you should hit kids, or could hit kids as part of education. And that, that type of apologetics is really problematic if you want to look at the sugya with any sort of intellectual honesty. At the other extreme, he doesn't like the people who say, well, I don't care about modernity at all. The fact that modern values tell you that it's problematic to hit children, well, Chazal were clearly okay with it. So, the modern world is krum and treif, and, we should continue taking these sugyas, and, if they say hit your children, well, then you're a bad person if you don't. And, I know of a school where, in fact, the teacher asked whose parents punched them and who don't, and the people whose parents didn't hit them, they said, your parents are bad parents, because Chazal think that that hitting children is fine, and that's part of education. And so what Gutel wants to do is avoid both of those traps and be honest with the sources, and try to honestly figure out where Chazal fell on this question, and to be open with the fact that we do, as modern people, have a certain tendency to think that this is problematic, and to deal with that openly and honestly. And I think his honesty in the treatment of the sugya is really important, and it models a lot of similar issues which are problematic from a modern perspective. In general, I really do love pretty much everything that Rav Gutel writes. He's a fascinating thinker. He's a scholar of Rav Kook. His PhD was on Nishtanu HaTeva, right? The claim that science has changed from the time of Chazal to now, which in turn affects halacha and how you deal with that. That was his dissertation, which has it's the only academic dissertation I know that had a response written that's attached to it. It's the whole second volume written by like classic Haredi Gedolim, or Haredi-esque, like Rav Zalman Chaim Goldberg and Rav Nevensal, both have treatments of it. He's a really fascinating Talmud Chacham. Okay, so I figured we would do it through his treatment of the issue. It doesn't mean that we're going to see every source on the topic, but try to at least get a basic overview of the approaches that one could take. Now, his starting point for this was that the Bagatz, the Supreme Court in Israel, ruled that that hitting children is forbidden, which was the what spurred him on to really to ask this this question. Okay, so as he notes, there were people who as I quickly said before, he summarizes the playing field as follows. He said there are those people who look at the pasuk in Mishle, which says choseich shivto sonei v'no, that one who withholds the rod hates his son, as basically their expression that they're just going to take a Torah perspective and they don't care what the modern world says. And if Mishle says that one who withholds the rod from hitting his son hates his son, shows you that Chazal, the Torah, Tanakh, just believe that you can, must use the tools of physical, you know, whatever, right, of hitting, of spanking, I don't know what you want to call it, right, of hitting your children, part of education, that's the proper thing for parents and children and teachers to use. And we have to therefore support it regardless of what the modern world thinks, right? And this view is basically, you know, a rejectionist model who says, look, there's a modern world and there's Torah, and, you know, you very easily have to be willing to give up your modern values if they seem to go against a halacha. That's just the way things are, and sometimes you've got to do that. And then he says there are the people who go to the opposite extreme and they bend over backwards and they say, oh, it doesn't really mean that. When Mishle says one who withholds the rod, he hates his child, it must not mean the physical rod. It must mean something like Musser, right? Hit him over the head with words. Yell at him if necessary, right? Be tough. You know, punish them. I don't know. But whatever it is, right, they bend over backwards apologetically to reread every pasuk, every statement in Chazal, and deny that there was ever a tradition in Torah which looked favorably upon hitting children. And you know, this position, he says, as well, he can't take because, you know, it's so dishonest. Right, meaning he understands the impulse that people want to both be Shomrei Torah Mitzvot, and they also want to believe that their values are in line with the Torah. But, you know, this doesn't justify taking sources and misreading them so badly without integrity, just so that you don't feel the tension between the Torah's view and your own. And therefore, what he wants to do is try to, right, lay out these views, but present a third model. And this is, you know, the end of his introductory comments. And that is to basically be honest with the sources, figure out what they say and what they don't say, what drives them, and figuring out, is the Torah saying this as an ideal? What does it really mean? And then trying to figure out, is the gap between the modern sentiment and the view of Chazal and the Torah really as far as the initial read would be? And if not, can we with honesty and integrity, right, bring these views closer to together? And he says that the way to do that is as follows. One is to acknowledge that the Torah talks about hitting children, but to figure out whether, as the rejectionists believe, that is a statement of necessity, like that is intrinsic to the Torah's view of education, or to figure out if maybe that is an option within the Torah. Obviously, if the Torah believes that it's an obligation, so then that creates a much bigger tension between a world where things it's an unmitigated evil and a world where then the Torah's view, which is an obligation. But if, on the other hand, the Torah says it is an option, so that's much easier to say, well, nowadays we won't use that option, and to say, well, maybe in the time of the Torah it was an option and it was, it had benefits, but in a world where it's not good, so then we wouldn't use it. And the second aspect, he thinks, is to figure out whether the Torah believes that hitting was a necessity, or they just happen to think that it was effective. And the real question is not should you hit your kids or not, but even Chazal, they weren't saying this on value grounds. They thought that it was effective. But if it turns out that it's not effective, either because we're different, our children are different, or we just learn different things about educational psychology, so maybe you just say, look, Chazal, we're wrong, right? What they wanted was you to educate your kids most effectively. They thought that this was what it was. But if Chazal had learned that it wasn't effective either ever, or at least in our context, Chazal also wouldn't have embraced it. And by figuring out those two questions, right? One, did Chazal embrace this as necessity or simply as an option? And two, did they embrace it fundamentally or did they simply think that it had practical benefits but would be open to learning that their analysis was incorrect and therefore maybe changing their mind or at least changing their mind when the reality changed? Both of those things would really soften the position that emerges from Chazal and allow us to bring it in line with integrity with our modern opposition to this educational method. So that's his introduction to the issue. And as I said, as I sent you the article, the Makorot are all highlighted in blue. Right, so we're not going to read through the whole article, but as you skip through it, the parts that are in blue, those are primary sources, and the black is his analysis. So we obviously won't go through it. We won't read through his analysis. We'll use his analysis to look at the sources. Okay. So the first thing he notes is, let's start with the Pasuk, right? The Pasuk in Mishlei that people quote, of Chosech Shifto, so Neva know that the one who withhold the rod, that they hate their son, he says that Pasuk, definitely, it's impossible to read that Pasuk as saying that the Torah never believed that hitting your child was an option. Right? That's clear, right? It's clear that at some point in history, it was an option. Anyone who tries to misread that is really, right, that's going to be a problematic read. But on the other hand, there's no obligation to read this pasuk as saying that you are obligated to hit your child. Because he notes that even as early as the Midrash on this Pasuk writes that the way you read this Pasuk is as follows. Mitoch she'ein mochicho la Torah v'chochma v'derech eretz atid l'sanoto. Aval mochicho na'aseo avo shenemar v'aveh shecharu musar. The way the Midrash reads it is that if you don't educate your children, they will be bad people and you'll end up hating them. And the Midrash already seems to say that, you know, shevet doesn't mean only hitting. It means education. It could mean hitting. It could mean something else. The main point of this pasuk is that you have to educate your children, because if you don't educate your children, you don't punish your children when they deserve it, you don't chastise your children, you just try to be their best friends, they're going to be rotten, spoiled, bad people, and that will be worse. According to the Midrash already, the main point of this pasuk is not necessarily hitting. It's education, right? Educate them and make sure that they don't become bad people. Make sure to, I know it feels like it's bad to educate and to punish your children when necessary and to yell at them if you have to, but really it's necessary to keep your children in line. And that's what's going to make sure you have a good relationship, not just being their best friend. So he notes that as early as the Midrash, it doesn't have to be about hitting. Even the Midrash is open to reading it about education as well, or more expansively. And therefore, there's no reason to read this as you have to hit them. So that's his first point. He notes, however, that even if you read the pasuk that way, it's clear that the halachic tradition allows hitting pshuto kimashmao, right? So our sugya is one of them, right, where it says you can hit, admittedly only with a shoelace, but there is hitting. But there are sugya where it's much clearer. So, for example, the Gemara in Makot, where the Gemara in Makot says that if a father accidentally kills his child in the process of educating him by hitting him, he's patur from going to galut. Now that already indicates that it is an option that is recognized by halacha to hit your child, and clearly somewhat hard. And furthermore, right, based on the sugya of Bava Kamma, we paskin that if a father hits his child and even causes a certain damage, a certain welt, he is patur. He doesn't have to pay for that damage because it was mutter. It was part of what halacha recognized that it can do. It's not considered chovel shelo kedin. It's not considered forbidden damages. So it's clear that halacha really does recognize not just education but hitting as a possibility. And the Ramban goes as far as to say that even if the father hits him too much, and you should bring him to court, you can't do that with a child who lives at home, because, sometimes people, when educating their children, they're supposed to hit them lightly, they hit them too much, but if you're going to bring them to court over that, they'll end up hating their child more. And, these are kids who need their parents' support. Their father might stop supporting them. Right? Now, that sounds quite extreme, but it's clear that halacha is talking about a case where they're actually hitting. And halacha is even willing to, at some level, swallow that sometimes they'll hit them more than they should have. So you can't run away from the fact that this is there. Even if the Torah doesn't love that people hit too much, clearly they are hitting, and it's not so light. But on the other hand, he notes that as much as you can't escape the fact that halacha really does talk about hitting children, he said our sugya in Bava Batra makes it clear that this doesn't have to be part of the educational system, right? Because our sugya brings this up in the context of other educational things you should do. Right, that ad shit lo takbil mikanvei lech kabil vasuvi legitora. Right, that after six you should stuff information, and when you hit him, it should be light with a shoelace. That it's clear that our sugya, it's not saying you have to hit. It's saying if you hit, do it lightly, meaning. It's not this sugya, unlike the other sugyas, is really not sold on hitting them. He's saying, okay, this is what people do. And if you do it, you should do it, very, very, very lightly. Which already shows you that, they don't want you to, they're very minimalist in terms of what they're encouraging, and they're only doing it because they think it might be educational, but they don't think that really hitting is good or effective. And they even go out against, and they say, "Eno makel ta makaro yev makarachzari," right? Don't hit them like you're their enemy, which shows you that they recognize that there are people who might be hitting them too much, and the Gemara is pulling back and saying, look, we understand that people hit, but they're pulling back on that norm and saying, when you hit, it should be light, like very light. That's really, you know, if you're going to hit, it should be with a shoelace. So they may be recognizing that in the sugya and makot, people are hitting too hard, and maybe halacha won't hold them responsible, but that's also not the ideal, right? There's a difference between saying, look, it might happen, and we can't hold you responsible because hitting is part of the educational system, and saying that we want you to hit hard, right? Clearly, Chazal are pulling back on that and saying, don't do that. Ideally, if you're going to hit, it should be very light. It should be with a string, with something that's, you know, symbolic rather than something that's actually going to hurt the child. So, you know, he notes that a fair assumption of the sugya, a fair read of the sugya, is already more balanced than either the Chazal loved hitting, they loved spanking, that's like their ideal educational thing. That's not true, and it's also not true that they don't believe that hitting is part of it. Some sources clearly recognize that sometimes parents are hitting maybe too hard, and maybe the halacha won't hold them responsible, but halacha is also not idealizing it, because when halacha talks about, you know, the ideal hitting, if there is such a thing, it's talking about it with a shoelace. So it's clear that Chazal are walking a much more balanced approach than either of these two extremes would have you believe. Now, one of the things he doesn't really get into too much is the fact that Chazal forbid hitting an older child. Right? This whole discussion is a younger child, but once a child is old enough that he might hit back, or according to some posts, can even scream back at you, halacha forbids hitting the child because of lifnei iver, because you'll cause them to violate the isser of hitting their parents. But we'll hold that on the side for a minute. Okay. So then he takes it, you know, noting this balance in Chazal, where on the one hand they recognize the possibility of people who are hitting hard, but on the other hand really trying to rein it in, he goes to the poskim. And he notes that the question was asked to Rabbi Yaakov Reischer in the Shvut Yaakov about a teacher who had gotten angry at his students and had hit them and even hurt them. What do you do? So he argued, on the one hand, he's putter, because the sugya said that hitting is part of the educational system. It is something that is there, and therefore you can't obligate him. But then he continues, and this is, if you scroll down in the blue, he says, So the Shvut Yaakov says the following. He says, "Meikar hadin, there is room in halacha to say that a teacher has the right to hit a student, and therefore, if he doesn't, even if he hurts him, he's exempt from paying." But the Shvut Yaakov says, nevertheless, Rav Yaakov Reischer said, nevertheless, I don't think it's a good thing for teachers to routinely hit their children, right? They're students, that's a bad thing. And therefore, even though I can construct an argument to say that he's totally exempt, I went out of my way and I fined him. And I made him pay the medical expenses and pay them, you know, extra. Pay it to the maximum amount because I wanted him to think next time and take Chazal seriously when they say, if you're going to hit lightly with a shoelace. So you see already that the Shvut Yaakov himself recognizes that hitting is part of the educational system, but thinks that hidden in Chazal's statement, that if you're going to hit, you should only hit with a shoelace, are Chazal saying that, yes, it's there, but we really don't like it. It's better to avoid it, if possible, and channeling what he saw as Chazal's hesitation of actually encouraging hitting, he fined this teacher to encourage him to avoid doing this in the future. So you see already that the Shmuel Yaakov sees in Chazal's more balanced approach, especially as presented here in Bava Basra, a statement that Chazal didn't think it was impossible that it could be part of the system, but far from an embrace of this being an ideal part of education. And then he quotes yet another tshuva from the Truman Adeshen, who said, and then he quotes, right, and then, right, he continues quoting from the Truman Adeshen. He says, besides, if you're going to hit, you really got to be a perfect person, because insofar as you're allowed to hit, it's clearly only, if you're only doing it for the right reason, to educate. But if you have a temper, right, he says, you know, that's not the person who can do it. Yeah. So that was one tshuva. And he was saying, people make mistakes, so, you know, you really shouldn't, you shouldn't be hitting. Right, so you see one posek who really translates this hesitation chazal into practically saying, you know, it may be technically mutter, but avoid it, and I'm not even going to use the legal system to limit when you do this. On the other hand, he notes another posek, Rav Gershon Kovlinitz, who was asked this question, Amakesh Sheika, Amlamed Sheika Talmidav, Talmid Kadan Kvashit Kvarsheva, etc. He was asked about this. He said, look, you're allowed to hit, and the Gemara and Makot says that even if they accidentally kill the child, they'd be putter from Galut. So you see that, so doesn't that show you, shouldn't that show you that you can hit? But then he says, no, he said, the Shmuel Yaakov was willing to say that technically he's allowed to do it, but he should try to avoid it. But he said, this Rav Gershon Kovlinitz said, no, I'm going farther. He says, I think that this is just a mistake. Said, no, I think the Ikar Adin, the teacher, has to pay damages. And he says, why? Because the teacher is hired to protect his children, his students. He said a teacher's job is to protect his students. Upshita, he said if someone else would hurt the child, it would be the teacher's responsibility. And now you want to tell me that the teacher isn't responsible? He says, I'm going to go farther. The Shmuel Yaakov was willing to say that hitting too hard is wrong, but not technically actionable, so he'll give him a kanas to encourage him never to do it again, but technically it was mutter. Rav Kovlinitz says, no, it's actually usser. When Chazal tell you that you have to hit softly with a shoelace, that means that if you hit too much, that's illegal, and that is damages. And he says, maybe you're putter if you accidentally kill him and send him to Galut. You know, maybe that's some sort of gzera kasev, who knows? But if you damage him, of course you're not, right? You shouldn't be doing it. So the Torah exempted him from Galut. Okay, because maybe there's some mitzvah component. But when Chazal tell you that you should hit lightly, that means that if you don't, it's wrong. It's a crime. And therefore, me'ikar hadin, you have to pay the full price. So he notes that already, even though the Gemara says you can hit, here you have the Shvut Yaakov saying it's not ideal. Technically, if you hit too hard, maybe you're putter, but it's really wrong. And then Rav Kovalevitz going farther and saying, no. The fact that Chazal tell you to hit lightly tells you that really hitting is wrong, is usur and actionable in court. And he can't escape the fact that the Gemara says that if he accidentally kills him, he's pater from galus. But he chalks it up to a gzeirat hakatuv, to saying, look, I don't understand that. But on balance, Chazal are clearly opposed to hitting, definitely hitting hard. So the first move that Rav Gutel notes is that a fair treatment of the sugya, already taken by Shvut Yaakov, even more extreme by Rav Kovalevitz, is that Chazal, while they allow for some sort of hitting, don't think it's an ideal, and definitely think that hard hitting is either not ideal and should be avoided through and discouraged through fines, or maybe it's really, really usur, that when Chazal say hit only with a shoelace, they mean only lightly, because hitting is problematic and hard hitting is just usur meikara din. So you already see mainstream poskim taking our sugya in Bava Basra as evidence that Chazal were never really in favor of hitting, not in any real way. That's his first move. His second move is to note that Chazal seemed to not believe in hitting as an ideal. They believed in it because they thought that it was effective. And therefore, for Chazal, the only thing that could possibly justify hitting at all was effectiveness. And he notes this by summarizing several halachot that point in this direction. One is Chazal say that if you're going to hit, it has to be immediately after the crime, so to speak, so that the message is clear. Because it's not a punishment as much as it is a way of discouraging future actions. It's an attempt to educate. Two, is that, as we noted, Chazal forbade hitting older children who might hit back. Because if it's about education, so then if by hitting them you're going to cause them to do something that was even worse than the original, problematic act, so clearly Chazal are looking at this from the vantage point of a broader educational philosophy. And if they think that hitting is counterproductive, then they say it's usur, and the parent who hit the older child is forbidden. So you see that Chazal care about effectiveness, and if they see it's going to be counterproductive, they forbade it formally. Chazal forbade hitting a child when you aren't sure that they did something wrong. Halachically, they say that you shouldn't hit during the 3 weeks because the 3 weeks are an inauspicious time, and therefore, hitting during a dangerous time is bad. Just like some people don't swim during the 3 weeks because it's dangerous, so don't hit your children during the 3 weeks because you're putting them at risk, which shows that Chazal recognize that it's a risk and you have to be very sensitive and you shouldn't do it when there's any other ancillary reason to think that it's a problem. Furthermore, the poskim say you shouldn't hit a young child who's not going to understand why you're hitting them, right? That in our sugya, you're talking about a 6 and 7-year-old and even then lightly because they're old enough to understand what you're doing, but a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, it's just usur because they don't even understand what you're doing. So what he notes is that standard halacha limits it over and over and only allows it when it's going to be the most effective educational tool. And from here, he points out that besides for already what we saw before, that point one is that Chazal have a hesitation of any real hitting, he says it's even more than that. Chazal seem to not have any conviction that hitting is the best thing. They just thought that it was effective and therefore limited it whenever they thought it wasn't effective. And anytime they thought it would be not effective or counterproductive, so they just forbade it outright. So combining those two facts, one is that standard poskim thought that Chazal really limited when you could use it. And two, that Chazal only allowed it when they saw that it was effective, because the main question for them was, how do we educate effectively? And they never saw hitting as an intrinsic good. They just thought it was a tool in their toolbox that in limited circumstances could be effective, those two things lead him to believe that with integrity, you can argue that Chazal, a fair view of Chazal doesn't embrace a hitting. With that in the background, he then jumps to the 20th century to two members of the Mussar movement. One is, yeah.
Idea of like that the reason why someone is putter from beating their child is because it would be one of those damages that you specifically wouldn't think ever would cause someone to die. So therefore, if someone dies from
a, yeah, right. Maybe you could read it that way. That if the norm is a light hitting, so maybe they're talking about if you were trying a light hit and it turned out that it was harder or something. Right. Maybe it's dafka because of right, the fact that they're imagining it as a lighter hit, they can't imagine that it'll ever lead to such real damage and maybe that's why you're put there. Maybe, right? Maybe you're right, Rami. Maybe you're right. Okay. So with this in the background, he jumps to the 20th century to Rav Dessler and to Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, the Sridei Eish. So Rav Dessler is like a classic Musser. Sefer, he also in many ways is the father of the modern yeshiva movement, right? His philosophy is in many ways the articulated philosophy of the modern yeshiva world in Michtav Me'Eliyahu. Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, on the other hand, was known as being much more open to the modern world. I wouldn't really call him modern Orthodox. I think that'd be unfair, meaning he came from, like classic Musar yeshivot, and then after the war moved to Switzerland, or maybe even before the war moved to Switzerland. He didn't really live in like the classic worlds of modern Orthodoxy, but, we would call it, but he definitely was part of like those German, he thought more like the German school, which is, similar in many ways to the modern Orthodoxy. And these are the two poskim that he wants to take from the 20th century. The approach that they took. Okay. So he notes that Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, he was asked a question about whether you could hit. He was dealing specifically with a kid who had some sort of addiction. What you should do. So what did he say? So Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg, the Sridei Eish, he said, "Look, it's usher to hit the kid, and this is why." He said, first of all, Chazal forbid hitting an older child. That's clear, right? That's in actual Gemara in Moed Katan that you can't hit an older child because it's going to be counterproductive. They're going to end up hitting you back, which is a bigger crime than whatever they did before. It carries with it the death penalty if a child hits his parent. So that's his first point. His second point is that modern educational psychologists have found that, especially with older children, hitting them is just going to make them more stubborn. It's just not good. It's not effective educationally. And therefore, he suggests that you have a child who has an addiction, so help him by trying to find something else, right? Find something else that is going to take up his time, right? Give him a new outlet, a beneficial outlet, change his atmosphere, find him new friends, new, right, spiritual pursuits, use other models to, right, don't hit him because it's counterproductive. Instead, try to find new pursuits, a better environment, and hopefully that is a more effective way of this. Now, sorry, it wasn't just like a, this wasn't addiction to, like, substance. I should have been clear. It's hit makrud in Hebrew. But it was to stupidity. He was addicted to, like, achizat einayim, apparently to magic, right? To doing, like, he didn't do anything productive with his time. He was addicted to being a magician. That's his addiction. But basically, right, he was just not doing anything productive. So should we, you know, slap it out of him? And he said, no, you know, he's addicted to stupidity. So find better things for him to do. Get him better friends. Get him, you know, help him find a more productive pursuit. So he says, you see that, you know, Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, he has three chidushim, right? One is that he's willing to expand Chazal's prohibition of hitting older children to any child where it's not going to be effective. Even if it's not a child, it's going to hit you back. Right? What he sees hidden in that statement of Chazal is any time it's going to be counterproductive. Even if they're not going to hit you, but simply they're going to be more stubborn, they're not going to listen to you, don't do it. So you see that Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, in Chazal's statement, don't hit your child who will hit you back, he reads that expansively as saying, don't hit your child if it's counterproductive. His second chiddush is that he's willing to take modern educational psychology seriously and say, if modern educational psychology says that hitting is not productive for our kids anymore, so don't do it. And his third chiddush is to say, look, follow modern educational psychology if they tell you there's a better way. So you see that a classic potek, like Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, was able to find in the sources of halacha itself a way of saying, not that halacha never believed you could hit kids, right? Not the totally, you know, apologetic approach, but was with integrity able to look at the sugya and say, the fact that Chazal said there were certain types of kids you shouldn't hit because it was counterproductive, that sets in motion a belief that we should take educational psychology seriously, and our main standard for how we should educate our kids is effectiveness, and we're allowed, just like we do with medical questions, with educational questions, to look at the experts and figure out what is a better way than hitting our children. At the other extreme is Reb Dessler. Rav Dessler was asked, are we allowed to hit children? Because look, modern scientists say that it's not effective. Rav Dessler's response was, Heim sobrim sha'adam nivra b'lim midot klal, v'rak misivato lomedotan. Aval ena davar kein lepeta chata rovets, v'gam lefneze yesh ba'ubar instinctim l'ra. He says, he takes the rejectionist approach. He says, no! I'm going to reject modernity. He says, you know why modern psychologists think you shouldn't hit kids? Because they think that kids are born as a blank slate, and therefore all you got to do is put them in a good environment, and they'll be good. He said, I think the Torah believes differently. I think that the Torah believes that kids are naturally bad, and you got to beat it out of them. Two, Heim sovrim ki tzavich l'zeh v'adim et asma'ut. Rav Dessler says, point two, modern people believe in autonomy and independence. And that's why they don't want you hitting your children, because they want them to be independent, and hitting them makes them subservient to you. Rav Dessler says, lo atzmo tzarech lefateh el hachna'ah. He said, no, you're not supposed to educate kids to be independent. You're supposed to educate them to be submissive. Gam kishiftechu v'manava v'achna yomadu me'atmo gavar reticha v'meilo ki ani v'afasi od zori tara adam tarara haritzicha v'agdela. He said, what you have to teach them is that they're nothing, and therefore hitting is totally fine. That's his, and therefore he goes full rejectionist on modernity, and he says, mikan inyan acher legamre. He said, I don't think hitting is just to stop them from doing their bad thing. He says, Hainu lasot leben leiv nishbar v'nidke. You hit them to crush their heart. Shakara banem hi b'chinat hafradat harla. Let me just read that one second. It's removing the foreskin of their heart. Of chinat chibur hakever. It's like punishment in the grave. Hine siverli ben dodi rev zissel sherav echad esvarim hakdoshim ki haben shomei la'ariv. So he said, I found in a sefer who said, even if your kids do nothing wrong, find an excuse to hit them. Because hitting is good. A little bit of hitting is good. And oh, you're going to tell me, modern scientists tell me that it's bad to hit your kids and it's not effective? Please. That's only because they totally misunderstand parenting. He says, here's the problem. Modern kids and parents, they want to be friends with their kids. You want to be friends with your kids? So obviously if you hit them, they'll just, right? If your friend would hit you, you hit them back. But the Torah believes that kids are nothing. Kids are submissive to their parents. If you teach them to be submissive, and the reason you're hitting them is because you're the parent and they're the kid, and you change the paradigm of parenting, so then it'll be fine. And therefore, you should find a reason to hit them, because the whole conceptualization of parents and kids that brings to this idea that you should not hit your children is flawed from beginning to end. Now, Rav Gutel notes that this is just crazy. He notes that if you look at the classic sources, the Sefer Hasidim says, what are you talking about? If you hit your kid when it's not necessary, gadol avonam min haso, it's a greater sin that you could possibly carry. And the Meiri says, lo yilku b'chinam, never hit them for no reason. Like, what is this craziness? But he notes that he's so rejectionist that he tries to find a whole new ideology to explain why the very approach of modernity that leads to this claim that you shouldn't hit your kids is wrong. And he is so convinced that he has to reject the modern world that he comes up with a whole ideology to back it up, that Rav Gutel notes that in the sources is just, you know, a really, really unfair read of the sources. So let me just summarize and I'll take the questions. Therefore, based on this, and he quotes also Pel Yoetz, but I'll skip that. Okay, you know what? Fine, Rami, take it and then I'll summarize. Yes, Rami.
Does Rabbi Tesler support the idea of the original sin?
Yes. That's exactly what he says. Lapenta chatat rabbeit. He says, you know that people are evil because of Cain. Go back to Cain. God said, you're bad. People are bad. There's an original evil in the human soul. Yes, that's exactly what Rav Tesler believes. He believes in like an original sin, an inherent evil that needs to be stamped out. Yes. That is exactly what he believes. What Ezra? Yeah, exactly. That's how he reads it. That people are intrinsically evil. That's what he reads. That's exactly what he says.
I'll beat the evil out of Rami. Don't worry.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay. And he notes, so therefore to summarize, what Rav Gutel says is, look, there are three possible approaches. There is the approach of people who deny that Chazal ever entertained the possibility of hitting. He says, that's a really hard read. And he's not willing to go for that apologetics. On the other extreme is the rejectionist view, which is, look, modernity might think that hitting is bad, but that's wrong. And he puts Rav Dessler as the classic person who believes that, who is so convinced that modernity is bad that, as he notes, he really misreads the sources. Because he, right, he said classically, Chazal and the Rishon and the Achronim said maybe you could hit to punish when the kid actually did something wrong. But he is so convinced that modernity is wrong that he says, no, hit your kids even if they did nothing wrong, because it's not about just punishing, it's about giving a paradigm that parents are on top and kids are on the bottom and kids have to be submissive and hitting is like lechatchila, shebe lechatchila, and even if they don't really deserve it, find a reason. He said, that's the rejectionist view. And he said, that's also not a fair read of the sources, right? That's reactionary. That's just someone looking at modernity and saying, oh, modernity must be evil, so the opposite must be true. And he takes his cue from a more balanced approach, which is to say, look, yes, Chazal say you could hit kids if necessary. Yes, Chazal even say that if accidentally the child would die, you might be patur from galus. But on the other hand, when Chazal actually talk about education, they say if you're going to hit with a shoelace, which shows you that Chazal aren't sold on hitting children, because hitting with a shoelace is barely hitting. And he says, in addition, Chazal clearly didn't think that hitting was an ideal, like Rav Destler. They thought it was sometimes effective, and therefore they put so many limitations on it whenever it wasn't effective. Don't hit your kid if he's going to hit you back, either because that makes things worse, or as some of the posts can read it, because as Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg read it, because what they cared about was effectiveness. And only hit in a time when it's going to be clear why you're doing it. Only if they actually did something wrong. And only if it's actually going to teach them a lesson. And even then, do it when you're not angry. And do it gently. So he says it's clear that Chazal hesitated. And the Chazal thought it was effective. But their main standard was effectiveness. That's why they said do it. And based on that, he shows that the majority of poskim, with integrity, say that Chazal didn't love it. Right, the Shvud Yaakov says Chazal allowed it, but I'm going to tone it down because I think that you really should think twice, and I'm going to give you a kanas if you damage the kid. Rav Kronovitz, he says that no, you were allowed to hit, but only so gently with a shoelace. If you actually hurt the kid, that's formally usur. Jumping to the 20th century, Rav Chiel Yaakov Weinberg says, look, it's not effective. Maybe it once was, but it's not anymore. And Chazal only allowed it if it was effective. But if it's about effectiveness, so you're allowed to say either the world has changed or maybe what we know about the world has changed. And therefore, maybe Chazal thought it was effective, so they allowed it. But we know that it's not effective. And we're allowed to and supposed to look at educational psychology and take it seriously. And if they say it's not effective, if they say it's not going to work, so then it's usur, because the only thing that justified it to begin with was that Chazal thought it was effective, but they never thought it was an ideal, and if it's not effective anymore, so then it's usur. And therefore, if Gutel says that the truth is to not deny that Chazal talked about hitting children, but to recognize that Chazal never thought it was an ideal, that they tried to tone it down, and they tried to make sure that you only used it when it was effective. But with those limitations, a fully honest approach to Makarot would say that if we live in a world where all the studies that we have, all the best evidence we have, is that it's bad for children, it's not an effective educational model. Add to that, Dina de Malchuta Dina, that it's illegal, right? Not even getting into that, but even on a fundamental level, he says that he thinks, following Rav Reicher and Rav Kronovitz and Rav Chiel Yaakov Weinberg, and there are others, the Haredi Musar thinker Rav Volbi and Ale Shor has a very harsh letter where he says you should never hit your children, it's pointless, it's terrible, it's not the way to educate. You should educate with kindness and with warmth and not by hitting, right? So it's people across the spectrum say that at least nowadays it's totally in line with Torah to say that hitting is not right. And therefore he thinks that with total honesty and integrity, we can reject both the Shita who denies that Chazal ever talked about hitting. That's just not true. They did. But on the other hand, we can with integrity say that this rejectionist view, which celebrates hitting as an ideal, is also, like Rav Destler, is also just wrong. And the most honest approach to the sugya seems to be that Chazal did allow it as a possibility, but they never idealized it. They were hesitant about it. They tried to tone it down. And they only allowed it when they thought it would be effective. And if you live in a world where you have evidence that either, however you want to say it, whether you say that now it's not effective but once it was, or it was never effective and we've learned more about education, whatever you want to say, right? The fact that you find that hesitation in Chazal and that the post can see it tell you that with complete honesty we can say that in the modern world, it is not the right thing to hit your child, and that is not being anti-Chazal, that's not being apologetics, that's a fair read of the limitations that are already found in the classic sugyot, in the classic poskim themselves. The locus classic as being our sugya, which says that if you hit, it should be with a shoelace, which already shows you that they're not really talking about what people are thinking about in terms of hitting and spanking or whatever they're thinking about. They're talking about something much more symbolic, much more limited in scope, and only when you believe that it's going to be ineffective. And therefore, Rav Gutel, you know, concludes that's why he thinks the majority of poskim, and he notes right in the Pelayowitz as well, it's like this, that even if you have to hit that, right, you really should, you know, avoid it. You know, poskim for hundreds of years have already been really taking the Gemara and Baba Basra as their guide to say that even if you're hitting, it should be so light that it's just symbolic, which shows you they don't really embrace hitting at all. And therefore, he encourages following what, you know, educational psychologists would tell you anyway, that a much more effective way of educating is the positive. He quotes from Rav Kook that you should educate with love and not with fear. But he thinks that that is not just apologetics, but is a fair treatment of the sugya. So like I said, I really like Rav Gutel's article because not only does it, you know, exhaustively go through the sources, but because I think it's excellent in noting that, you know, there really are these three ways of dealing with problematic halachot, right? One is to say, look, if a halacha seems to go against modern sensibilities, pretend it never happened. That's not honest. The other is to be, you know, reactionary and say, oh, halacha seems to go against the modern world. The modern world must be wrong. Let's have the most extreme construal of halacha as possible, right? Rav Dessler's approach. And Rav Gutel says, no. When there is something in halacha or Torah, and again, I think this is a model for anything in halacha. When there's something in halacha that you look at and you say that doesn't sit right with our modern sensibilities, you don't have to reject halacha, and you also, you know, or deny that it ever existed. You also don't have to, you know, reject your intuition and modernity entirely. A third and more honest approach is to say, maybe a more balanced understanding of the sugya will show you that the gap between what halacha says and what we feel to be right and what you know, our values tell us are right, and maybe modernity tells us right, or science tells us right, or psychology tells us right, maybe the gap is not nearly as far as you thought, and that's fair. And that's the third approach that he goes in this sugya, which I think, like I said, is a good model whenever we have halacha like this that are difficult to understand. Okay, so that is the summary of this. So yeah, I really do think Rav Gutel's treatment is excellent and acts as a model for dealing with other problematic halakha that don't sit well with us as moderns. Okay, let's stop there. Rami, you have a question?